there's danger everywhere. But danger had never looked quite like this before.
Can you keep a secret?
Based on shocking true events.
This girl, Rena Virk, she's been missing for 3 days.
Emmy Award nominee Riley Keough.
Young girls were the ones we were supposed to protect.
Academy Award nominee Lily Gladstone.
Can't be.
Not be protected from.
A Hulu original series, Under the Bridge. Now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays only on Hulu.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Saren Burnett.
You can't prove that.
Elizabeth Dutton.
Elizabeth.
Back again.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
You know, I've been good. I've been fair to Midland. Yeah. How about you? You look nice.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
I like that. What is that? A turtle underwear on your head?
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Turtle
is
underwear.
That a hat? That's
turtle
cool.
Underwear on my head.
Yeah, it's good.
Yep.
It's a good look.
You know what's ridiculous?
I do. Sperm whales.
Okay.
No, like Elizabeth, I don't mean it's more to it than just the words sperm whale.
It's
the sound. Not of the words sperm whale. It's the sound of the whales.
Yeah.
Like, okay, if you were underwater, like 30 feet underwater, right,
okay.
In the ocean, you could hear sperm whales singing, and it would sound like they were screaming.
Really?
Yeah, because apparently, hands down, the sperm whale is the loudest animal on Earth.
I did not know
that.
Like,
I was looking into it. A sperm whale sings at 230 decibels.
What?
Yeah, now, for comparison's sake, an ambulance or like a jackhammer, that's like 130
yeah.
decibels. Fireworks, gunshots, that's like 140 decibels. A jet screaming as it takes off, tearing the air, it's like 150 decibels. Meanwhile, there's sperm whales screaming death metal into the ocean at 230 decibels.
230?
Yeah. Don't you ever wonder if, like, the other whales and dolphins are like, damn, son, I'm swimming right here, man. Come on now.
They have voice modulation disorder.
Seriously, they have that rare condition. I am a sperm whale. There's nothing I can do about this.
That's horrible.
Isn't that crazy? Like, why do they need to be so loud?
No.
All the other whales are like, man, come on, let's go to the tropics, man. Sperm whales just got here.
That's ridiculous.
Right?
That is very ridiculous. Do you know what else is ridiculous?
No, I'm here for it, though.
Conning people by cracking your knuckles.
Ooh.
This is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder-free and 100% ridiculous.
You damn right.
I'm crazy, Zarin.
Yeah, you is.
Crazy like a fox.
Oh, that's right. I can see your tail wagging.
Crazy like a fox sister.
What?
I'll explain myself later. So first,
okay.
I want to take you on a little trip down memory lane.
Oh, I love one of my favorite lanes.
Do you remember when we first started doing this show?
Okay, kind of, yeah, yeah, totally.
And you remember—
You were there, I was there.
Yeah, and you remember we
Producer
did—
Producer Dave was there.
Did a bunch of episodes.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
And we did one about Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Uh-huh, yeah.
A.K.A. Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, yeah, going hard against Houdini.
And spiritualism.
Yeah.
Yeah. You remember that?
Kind of, yeah, totally. I think I told it.
We were so young back then.
Ah, yes.
Anywho, spiritualism. Mm-hmm. For those who haven't listened to the earlier episode, or those like me with broken brain memory issues— Spiritualism is the 19th century movement that claimed that awareness exists even after death, and that it's possible for there to be contact between the living and the dead.
Yeah, it was like the 1800s version of I'm a psychic, I can talk to the dead.
And totally.
But they had like a whole different like language for it.
Mm-hmm.
And we basically get spirit mediums is like the crossover point. The clairvoyant is the crossover point.
Sorry, I had to take a sip of water there, everybody. Anyway, yes. And there are people who believe this today.
Yeah.
In varying degrees.
To varying degrees and in varying languages.
Yeah. But we see it in a bit of a different light now. Today, most people see seances as tricks and cons.
Yes.
What no they offense were doing? To people who are into them.
Yeah, when there's a crystal ball and smoke, mm-hmm. yeah.
Rock on if you're into that, but whatever. most people think seers who can talk to the dead are full of it, mm-hmm. unless you're Polly Walnuts.
Hey, I'm dragging souls over here, Tone!
That's the episode of The Sopranos yes. where Polly Walnuts goes and visits a medium and is completely in a packed room of people he's killed.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's the greatest
and they're all
scene.
Fighting to talk through the medium. She's like, wait, take your time.
So you have like a made man killer.
Yes.
With all these ghosts following him
Just
around.
Everywhere he's going, he's got dragon souls, Tone!
But in the 1800s, spiritualism wasn't like a roadside carny attraction for rubes.
No, like the president's wife was into it.
Well, yeah, and Americans were quick to adopt it as a way to reject Calvinist doctrine of predestination.
Mm-hmm.
It gave them control over their own salvation, and they could communicate directly with spirits who had already passed on, who could kind of
guide them
how are you going to live your life? How are you going to save your soul?
Help them in troubled moments.
Yeah. It was seen as a way to merge the unknowable aspects of human existence with the technology that was just progressing by leaps and bounds. So not technology like we mean today. I'm talking like industrial automation and the telegraph.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to tell my students that the stapler was once technology. And they just kept ignoring me. Anyway.
Did you ever tell them, like, the pencil was, too? And you get, like, far back?
It really, at one point.
Yeah, it was
too. There was also, at this time, fascination with the East and Orientalism.
Oh, yes, when they were Japanning everything.
Yeah, and there was a sense of mystery applied to the culture of East Asia that intoxicated people.
Mm-hmm.
All they knew
of it just opened up. I mean, after the Civil War is basically you have Japan opening up and then China.
Yeah. And all they knew of these places were the caricatures that were peddled to them by European tastemakers. Mm-hmm. So a part of that vibe that they were sold was that the mysteries of the East involved fortune tellers, mystics. People were immigrating over oceans in numbers never seen before, thanks to transportation technology. Mm-hmm. Everything was new and changing and exciting and scary.
Steam-powered.
Yeah! don't you think that the rise in astrology interest today has some connection to the whiplash speed of technological advancement we're living in?
Yeah, all the unknowables make people yearn for the knowable, and they go, I'll take this person who just says, I can tell you the future.
Well, and we're spinning out here on Earth while the heavens stay the same and keep score is kind of what works for people, I guess.
And also, it's interpretive. It's kind of like the tarot. Like both astrology and the tarot allow you to do the interpretation. So really, it's your subconscious just finding a way to bubble up. So I think a lot of people have figured that out.
Yeah, yeah.
Who knows?
It wasn't just the technological advancement of the time. There's also scientific discovery.
Tons, yes.
So like germ theory was established at this time.
What, 1839?
Yeah, like mid-1800s, 1850, 1860. Okay. The periodic table of elements was constructed.
Oh, Mendeley, okay.
Mm-hmm. Incredible things were done with electricity, Aaron.
Oh, yes. My man, Tesla.
Science was changing everything.
I got to tell you a story about him sometime.
Okay. I'm scared. Spiritualists saw themselves as a part of that, as a part of this science that was changing the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They thought they were using science to prove the existence of not only God, but the afterlife.
Yeah.
Think about it. For people learning about these new machines and concepts, none of that made any more sense than being able to talk to the dead.
Totally. If you suddenly have like gas-powered lights, I mean, that's a miracle. And then you get into electricity, and now you got things arcing and sparking, and you don't even know what's going on. So,
in the telegraph, you can send these messages across a country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So why not? Why not say, this cool new stuff is happening. Why not throw in spectral communication?
Yeah, also we can talk to the dead.
And so, why not? Well, there are the true believers, those willing and ready to take advantage of true believers.
That's true.
So enter con artists. they gain the confidence of an audience hungry for a connection to the next world. Who wouldn't want to talk to someone who's passed?
Unless they're family. I'm kidding. But yes.
So like, who wouldn't want to at least know that the person, or in my case, dogs, multiple dogs,
all of the dogs you've known.
Who wouldn't want to know that, this person that you loved is happy and can like watch over you and stay with you.
Totally. If you could talk and send a message over the Rainbow Bridge, I know you would be so gleeful.
Yes. And everyone's lost someone, even if it's like an ancestor that you never got to meet and you want to talk to.
Oh, good point.
I got great, great grandmas I never met. I'd love to talk to. Anyway, our human hunger for that connection is what leaves us open.
Yes.
When you're hungry, you'll eat almost anything.
Good point. So, yeah, totally.
In the rise of spiritualism came con artists who thought of really clever ways, sometimes using that new science and technology, to dupe people into believing that they were a conduit to the afterlife. And they would connect you for a price. Always for a price. I got a few of these jokers here for you today.
Oh, nice.
Let me just say that I can get a little woo-woo.
Oh, yeah. I'm not
casting judgment. I think you can get down.
I believe everything's
woo-woo.
Ghosts all the time. I'm like, what's that sound? That's ghosts.
So I got three sassy gals who swam in the woo-woo. The Fox sisters.
Okay. You promised the Fox sisters.
I did. Leah was born in, April 8th, 1813.
Okay.
Margareta was born October 7th, 1833.
Wow.
20 years later.
That's a big gap.
And Catherine was born March 27th, 1837.
Huh, okay.
So there's a huge gap between Leah and the two sisters.
Yeah.
When Catherine was 11 and Margareta was 14, so this is 1848.
She practically raised her sisters.
Well, no, I mean, they had parents.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, you know how it is when you're an older sibling. If you're that much older, I imagine it's almost
true.
Like a second
parent. Yeah, you're kind of like the, yeah,
the spare. Third parent or whatever.
So 1848, they're living with their parents, John and Margaret Fox, in Hydesville, New York. So Hydesville is basically an intersection about 30 miles east of Rochester. The oldest sister, Leah, she lived in Rochester and was married. Her married name was Leah Fox Fish. Leah Fox Fish, badger, raccoon, deer, stray cat. She just picked what she saw at a window. So anyway, Hydesville.
Okay.
All that's there now is a historical marker and a one-room house with a display about the Fox sisters in it.
Oh, wow.
The display looks like an elementary school science fair.
Oh, yes.
Like, it's got those three-panel poster board things, and there are portraits drawn in what looks like crayon. I'm not kidding, and there's a dollhouse replica of their house.
So it's like third-grade science fair?
It exactly looks like that. How do I know this? Did I fly to upstate New York for the day and
I'm
go on
imagining
tour?
A Google tour is involved
yes.
in this. There you go.
Yes. Google Earth.
Yeah, okay.
It's amazing. So the marker out on the lush grass that runs along Hydesville Road reads, "The Fox Sisters." That's in all caps.
Okay.
Well, the whole thing's in all caps, but I just like, "The Fox Sisters." On this site, events of March 31st, 1848 began sisters Maggie and Kate Fox's central role in the origin of modern spiritualism.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's pretty presumptuous using their nicknames, right?
You know, maybe they preferred that.
As I was saying, the family, well, the mom, dad, and the two youngest girls, they lived in Hydesville in 1848. It's about to go down, Zarin.
Right.
Yeah. They lived in a farmhouse.
Right.
And legend had it at that time.
Yeah.
The farmhouse was haunted.
Oh.
March 31st, 1848. That was the ghost.
I knew it, right? I know
Be
ghosts,
gone,
girl.
Ghost.
Yeah, you know me. I'm like, that's a ghost.
1848, March 31st, April Fool's Eve.
Oh, is that important back then?
Sure.
Anyway, go on.
Maggie and Kate. What the heck? I'll act like I'm familiar with them, too. Maggie and Kate, yeah. They ran to a neighbor's house, and they said, "We hear weird noises in our house." And he's like, "All right, creepy girls." It's like, "In fact, we hear these noises every night before we get out of bed."
Weird pre-Victorian doll children.
Why are you telling us this? They told him that they were pretty sure their place was haunted and that there was like a ghostly entity trying to communicate with them.
All right.
The neighbor thinks the girls are full of it.
Yeah, I'm with the neighbor.
Like, why are you telling me this?
Yeah.
Go home.
Mags, you got to go.
But then he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to go over and check it out."
He's bored. There's nothing to do.
Well, yeah, there's not a whole lot to do.
He's like, the candle's almost out.
And here, I get it. Because if it's real, he's witnessed an honest-to-goodness haunting.
That's true.
If it's bogus, he has plenty to talk about over a barrel of nails at the general store.
Oh, yeah. He's got the best story at the seed farm.
He's like, "Those creepy little Fox sisters came over and..."
I'll tell you what.
It was so weird. I wonder, he calls the Fox sisters the Vixens, do you think? The guy, he came over. He goes over. Maggie and Kate jumped into bed. Their mom was standing in the room. So wait.
So these two teenage girls bring a strange man back, the neighbor, back to the house. They hop in bed. The mom's standing there going, "What are you doing here?"
You know, the mom's like, "Well, go ahead, girls." So she says out loud, "Now count five." And there's a pause. And then everyone in the room hears five knocks, seemingly coming from nowhere and everywhere all at once. So they hear... Five okay. knocks.
All right, five's five.
So the neighbor looks a little freaked out, right?
Neighbor's like, "All right, what's going on here?"
And he like looks around the room. He's trying to figure out what could have produced the noise. The mom then says, "Count to 15. I'm not going to knock out 15 okay, sips. You know, come
that's
on.
A lot.
And you know what? Mm-hmm. 15 knocks.
It's like a
pretend I'm
like
doing
a horse
it.
Counting. Yeah, go yeah. on.
So Mother Fox, then she asks the neighbor, hey, buddy, how old are you? And he goes, 33. 33 knocks.
Okay.
Okay. So by this time, the neighbor is like well spooked. He's
impressed by numbers. He's very impressed by numbers.
And knocking. Numbers and knocking.
It's like, okay.
So he asks Mama Fox and the kids, like, who is this injured spirit? Who's doing this? And the girls say, Mr. Splitfoot.
Whoa.
Satan.
Oh.
Mr. Splitfoot.
Oh, the cloven Satan. Hoof Splitfoot. I got you.
Now, if I'm the neighbor.
Yeah, I'm going through the window at
I
that
get
point.
Out of quickness. Yeah. Yeah. I just like plug my nose and pew out the window.
No, those two pre-Victorian doll baby weird children no. coming to the devil's in their room
and
knocking
you know,
on the floor
they're all
and
pale.
Their mom's cool with
they
it.
They got like I'm circles like, under their eyes.
Y'all good. I'm going to sell my farm. You guys want to buy because I'm out of here.
So he runs, right? He takes off. He gets out of there.
Because even
then,
if there's no devil, I don't want to live next to those people who believe that the devil's
that
there. So either way, I don't want it.
Well, guess who else left?
The dad.
The family. The whole family abandoned the house.
Okay, good so, on
like,
them.
Would you live in a haunted house?
Depends. Am I like living in the haunted house that like I was the one who discovered it or I moved into the haunted house and I was like, oh man, this is haunted. Like if I was like in the house, right, uh-huh. and I was the one who determined it was haunted.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that like, oh, everyone knew and I've now moved into the local haunted house just to see what it's like to live in the haunted house. No, I ain't doing that.
Wait, but, so you wouldn't go if someone said live in this house, P.S. it's haunted, you'd be like, never mind.
No, but if I was in the house and mm-hmm. I discovered it was haunted, hell, I might just, you know, keep it up because I was like, well, maybe the ghost got something to say. It would have to get to the point that the ghost wanted me out. Then I'd be like, okay, I'm out.
Yeah, okay.
Fair, right? That's rational. That's rational. We're talking ghosts.
Well, the Fox family had no interest in coexisting with a ghost.
Yeah, see, rational.
They were not into it. So they abandoned the house. The
poor neighbor got to sell it, though.
Well, they sent the girls to live with Leah in Rochester.
Okay.
And Rochester at the time was a hotbed of religious activity, including Millerism. And that's the precursor to the Seventh-day Adventists.
Oh, I didn't know Millerism.
Well, not a lot of people do, Zarin.
Yeah, well, I'm with a lot of people.
I didn't until I looked this up.
Yeah.
Word about the spooky Fox sisters spread, uh-huh. as well as rumors about the farmhouse.
So that one neighbor's got a big mouth.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He told everybody. He went right to the
right
general
to the seed store.
Store
and is just like, hey, uh-huh. everybody. Yeah.
He's, and then he starts talking. one of the rumors was that a peddler, uh-huh. like a little salesman guy.
Yeah, a guy shows up with like a bag of stuff like on little, and then unfolds it on your porch and says, would you like to buy?
Who wants a dented pan? Yeah. You're like, not me.
Okay.
That the peddler had been murdered in the house 5 years prior.
Ooh.
So
it's the ghost of a peddler.
Yes. Enter Amy and Isaac Post.
All right.
Let's take a break. Okay. And when we come back, we'll learn more about this gruesome twosome.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hello.
Hey, Elizabeth Dutton, what you doing, girl?
I'm welcoming the spirits. Hello. Welcome. Fox sisters. They communicated with the spirit.
I'm still looking around. I'm like, look, waiting.
You're not going to be able to see them.
Oh, okay.
They'll just start a-knocking.
Yeah.
Rumor of a man murdered in a farmhouse.
Yeah, peddler.
Yeah, a peddler.
I'm paying attention.
He's on a bicycle. Amy and Isaac Post.
Yes.
They got wind of this. Who are Amy and Isaac Post?
Niece and nephew of Emily Post,
yes.
Miss Manners.
Yes. They were Hicksite Quakers.
Ah, I was close. So close.
Up in Rochester.
Hicksite Quakers.
That meant that they were Quakers who followed the teachings of Elias Hicks.
Ah, so splinter Quakers.
Yeah, exactly. Elias Hicks didn't believe in original sin
mm-hmm.
or the Trinity or predestination. Or an external devil.
Okay.
So big
he's just,
sections
he's
of the...
He's just lazy about starting his own religion. He's just like, yeah, I'm a Quaker.
Well, so he's a Quaker. Ish. And then he splits with the rest of the friends, and his followers became known as Hicksite Quakers.
Okay.
The Posts, they were abolitionists, and they worked for women's rights. They created an interfaith anti-slavery group. And
right.
Amy was at the Seneca Falls Convention in 1848.
Oh, so the beginning of feminism.
Yeah. Mm. And they were also early adopters of spiritualism.
Ah,
all the isms.
A lot of isms meeting right there.
Yeah. So Isaac and Amy, they got all head up about the story of the guy being murdered in the Fox house 5 years ago.
Now, did the neighbor remember this, the person being, with any confirmation?
No, I don't know if he started it or if
okay,
they...
I was just wondering where this rumor started.
No,
okay,
who
anyway,
knows?
So...
Well, it's like where most rumors, you don't know where it begins.
Yeah, I was just wondering.
Well, like any good paranormal investigators, mm-hmm. they formed a group to go and check out the basement of the spooky house.
Good.
Yeah, as you do. Unlike most paranormal investigators who only find dust flares on their film posing as spirit orbs.
Yes, yes, of course.
These guys found stuff. Bone fragments. Hair.
Oh.
Yeah. No word on whether these were human or animal, but it honestly doesn't matter. Everyone was positive that the, quote, injured spirit was trying to communicate.
Yeah.
So the Posts invited the Fox sisters to their house to see if the girls could continue communicating with spirits from another locale.
Okay.
Like, is it just the house or is it you?
I got you. That's scientific.
Like,
I like it.
Yeah. So
it's semi-scientific.
This was what Isaac Post had to say. Quote, I suppose I went with as much unbelief as Thomas felt when he was introduced to Jesus after he had ascended. But he changed his mind by, quote, very distinct thumps under the floor and several apparent answers.
Hmm.
Well, he should have stated not a doubting Thomas.
Yeah, I'm wondering, like, how hard is it to look under the floor?
Well,
like,
that's the thing. They you'll see.
Okay.
That knocking sound
uh-huh.
wasn't under the floor. It was their cracking joints.
What?
Kate and Maggie confessed to their older sister, Leah, that they'd figured out how to crack the knuckles in their toes in a way that made movement almost impossible to detect.
Oh, but this, oh, 33 times.
30, that's my question. You're running out of joints,
yeah.
girls. Like how is that happening?
I can crack my knuckles, but not 33
well, between the
times.
Two of them, you know, but still.
Still, that's
and they're
discipline.
Saying it's just their toes, so maybe it's over. And maybe they've got like a loose.
Yeah, no, I've had like a thumb sock where you can pop it over and
mm-hmm.
over again, but still.
So that's what they're doing.
Oh.
So they did this with their feet resting on a wooden stool.
Okay.
And like sometimes or on the floor.
Uh-huh.
So there's nothing that anyone can see.
But it's loud enough it sounds like it's everywhere.
Yeah. And the amplification of the cracking joint made the noise sound really, like you said, it's everywhere. It's otherworldly.
So it's just bouncing around off the floorboards and everything off
yeah,
the wooden walls.
Yeah. And you can't point to one specific thing that's making the noise.
Yeah.
So with this knowledge, Leah was like, count me in. I can crack my knuckles too. Let's do this. So she convinced Isaac that she was communicating with his recently deceased daughter.
Ooh.
Ethical.
Ooh.
She's all crack, crack, crack. Oh, she says, hey.
Oh, that's rough.
That's really terrible. So the Posts are believers after that.
Of course.
Of course. They're hungry. They want
to
eat.
They want to talk to their, yeah, wow.
So they rented the Corinthian Hall, which was the largest assembly hall in Rochester. And they promoted this wonder, and 400 people showed up.
Hmm.
This was the first demonstration of spiritualism to a paying public.
Oh, wow.
Emphasis on the paying
oh,
part of it.
Yes.
So after the demonstration was over, I mean, because that's the thing. Like, if they were just honestly talking to the dead,
mm-hmm.
why not just do it in a public space? Why do you have to charge people?
Spiritualists got to eat, too?
They'll do it for the good. They're kids.
I don't
Make their
know.
Parents get jobs.
I'm not the best capitalist, Elizabeth, all right? I can't decide why they should be paid.
So after their little show, Amy Post took the sisters backstage. They went into a private room. She had them stripped down.
Okay.
And she said, No, I don't know what I'm saying. She had them stripped down, but there were a bunch of people there. It was a group of skeptics.
Okay. Are you going to keep doing that?
I don't even know what song I'm trying to do. So the skeptics saw that they don't have any devices hidden under their clothes.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, this is common. We saw this with Houdini and with Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. When they had the guy, they're like, strip.
Everyone's always behind like, a screen. Strip. Well, it's like the coronation of King Charles. Yeah, they're like, get behind the screen.
We got the holy oils we're going to rub on you. It's always like if you want to prove something, play the music because you're taking off your clothes.
That's my saucy music. Bum,
bum, bum, I'm going to do the feather dance in a second.
There wasn't any evidence, right?
The dance of the seven veils.
They're just naked.
Yeah.
And there's a day they were born.
No electric devices
on. All
they
see are just two little mediums. Well, three.
Three?
So your boy, 18th century Austrian healer Franz Anton Mesmer.
Mm-hmm.
He was a popular guy in 1840s America.
Oh, yeah. I got a story for him for you.
He said, everything in existence in the whole universe is controlled by a, quote, magnetic fluid.
Yeah, that's him. That's Mesmer.
And what happens if your fluid becomes imbalanced? Well, it's going to make you sick.
Yeah, you probably need leeches or probably some cocaine.
Well, no, how can you be cured? You got to get balanced.
Oh,
and how do you get balanced? Mesmer has the answer.
What's the answer?
He said that he could restore the balance by waving his hands over a person's body. And this would cause a mesmerized hypnotic state, thus the word. And when the person was mesmerized, he could fiddle with the magnetic force and boom, healthy.
Dude, if I had a better name, that'd be my goal, to have my name be turned into
either
a verb or an adjective. So you like Runyon-esque, I'd be cool with. Mm-hmm. Mesmerize, I mean, martinize. There's some, like, anyway, but Burnettize sounds dumb. Maybe, I don't know.
Zaranize something. Sometimes when people are under his spell, they said they were visited by spirits from other dimensions.
Naturally.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, the way to go, Mesmer.
You know, if you're into that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Around the time that Mesmer was mesmerizing, the Swedish mystic and philosopher Emanuel Swedenborg, he was coming up too.
Yeah.
He believed the afterlife consisted of three heavens,
mm-hmm.
three hells,
okay.
and a middle space where every person went after dying.
Cleveland.
So it was like a processing center. Cleveland. This middle place was supposed to be a lot like Earth or
Cleveland.
Cleveland. He said selfish folks would end up in one of the hells, depending on how bad they were. Nice, caring people could make it to one of the heavens, depending on how good they were.
Okay.
He wrote, quote, the Lord casts no one into hell, but those who are there have deliberately cast themselves into it and keep themselves there.
He sounds fun.
He's super fun. And he, you know, kind of then gets absorbed into all the spiritualism stuff. Nearly a century later, a man named Andrew Jackson Davis,
okay.
who sounds like maybe a Civil War general, but he's not.
Totally. Or on the wrong side.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. He was known as John the Baptist of modern spiritualism.
Ooh.
So he took the chocolate of Mesmer and the peanut butter of Swedenborg, and he made a delicious book. He communicated with the spirit of Swedenborg through a series of mesmeric trances.
Okay.
And Davis recorded these messages in a giant book called The Principles of Nature, Her Divine Revelations, and A Voice to Mankind.
Oh, wow.
Which, like, I see that title, I'm like, I don't know what that book's about. I'm not reading that.
So he was like the Edgar Casey before Edgar Casey decided to write a bestseller.
Yes.
Okay.
So this is what he had to say. Quote, it is a truth that spirits commune with one another while one is in the body and the other in the higher spheres. All the world will hail with delight the ushering in of that era when the interiors of men will be opened and the spiritual communication will be established.
We can talk to the dead.
Yeah.
It's like it'll be...
A year later, this is what Davis wrote in his diary. Uh-huh. I stole his diary.
Good job.
I'm going to tell you what's in there.
Please.
Quote,
crack it open.
About daylight this morning, a warm breathing passed over my face and I heard a voice.
Sorry, it's addictive.
I know, you can't stop. And I heard a voice, tender and strong, saying, brother, the good work has begun. Behold, a living demonstration is born.
That sounds like some Ghostbusters stuff.
Brother.
Behold.
Okay, so.
I do like the brother
version. The date of the diary entry, uh-huh. March 31st, 1848.
Ah.
The same day that the Fox sisters displayed their talents to their mother and their neighbor.
A great awakening was felt in the
A
Fox.
Living demonstration was born.
Interesting. Bam, 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 so it's all bam, lining bam. Up for the con
yeah.
artistry.
So, upon hearing about the sisters, Davis invited them to his house in New York to witness their abilities himself.
Sure.
And once they wowed him with their woo-woo, it was on. The sisters went on tour.
Okay.
It was like got a bus, merch.
They took the woo on the road.
Yeah, they booked a suite at Barnum's Hotel, which was owned by the cousin of P.T. Barnum.
Oh.
And that was on the corner of Broadway and Maiden Lane.
Word.
Sessions were conducted in the hotel's parlor for the admission price of $1. And that was done at 10 a.m., 5 p.m., and 8 p.m. They had three shows a day.
Mm-hmm.
They offered, you know, if you wanted to, you could book a private session.
Bum, bum, bum. Sorry.
As many as 30 people would be in attendance at a time in the hotel's parlor. Famous people stopped by.
Okay.
That's what we always like to find
out. We love them. Who are they?
James Fenimore Cooper.
Oh, yes, the writer.
William Cullen Bryant.
Ah.
Sojourner Truth.
Wow.
Yeah. Journalist and abolitionist William Lloyd Garrison was there during a session when a spirit tapped out a message, quote, "Spiritualism will work miracles in the cause of reform," in time to a popular song.
What was the popular song?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me
something. Yellow Rose of Texas, who knows?
It's my mother's favorite song.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, weird lady.
You know, it's iambic pentameter.
Yeah, okay.
Anything in iambic pentameter can be sung to, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Leah, she stayed in New York and took callers in a seance room. And Maggie and Kate continued touring.
Huh.
It wasn't always glamorous. Life on the road seldom
is. Oh, yeah, never is.
Yeah. Maggie seemed to be a particular target for people trying to debunk the girls for some reason. They thought she was possessed a lot of times.
Oh, interesting.
She was almost kidnapped by a group of men who were offended by her performance while in Troy, New York.
Like they were going to like shake it out of her?
I don't know. Put her in a
loony bin.
Pillowcase and throw her in the river? Oh, I don't know.
Like a bag of kittens.
Who knows? Yeah, exactly. Huh. Horace Greeley,
yes.
Founder and editor of the...
Go West, young man.
Yeah, the New York Tribune began acting as a chaperone for the sisters.
Oh.
This got them entry into holding seances for the upper classes. And
he was such a mark.
And he was a pretty lousy chaperone.
Yeah.
He was really lousy. He let them drink wine.
Well, you know.
So it's like little kids, get them drunk, you know.
Yeah, I'm not thinking that was a mistake on his part.
He's like a fun mom in the suburbs.
Yeah, that's what I'm picturing.
Who then wonders why there are so many single car accidents around prom. Anyway.
That's so bleak.
Scandal started to surface.
Uh-huh.
They didn't really have any supervision. What started out as a prank to mess with their mom and neighbor, what was supposed to just be a goof to fend off boredom, was now the source of incredible destructive stress for them.
Oh, yeah. They're about to get an invitation to the White House.
Totally. Well, mind you, this was all within a year and a half.
Yeah, exactly.
November 1849, they gave a performance that ended with the visiting spirits tapping out, "We will now bid you farewell." Because they're like, let's just stop this.
Dude, are their feet just swollen big
like
at this point?
Is it Morse code? Like, what are they, how are they tapping this out?
Oh, yeah,
I
imagine this is Morse code.
I don't know.
Or unless they establish some, like, you know, code on the floor, like one is A, two is B,
or it'll
blah,
be
blah,
like
blah.
In Star Wars when someone can talk to one of the droids who's just beeping,
just and whistling,
like,
and
so
beeping.
They have someone who's like, "Oh yeah, they said, we now bid you farewell." That's what they said.
Yeah, I've been to all the shows.
So they make that farewell message, and for 2 weeks there are no spiritual visitations. But Leah wanted to get that money. So she made like...
Leah's the oldest one. She got real life problems.
She made like a true stage mama, and she just worked through the pain. The show must go on, Zarin.
Worked through the pain.
So 4 years on...
She's out there Judy Garlanding her way through spiritualism.
Totally. 4 years on, more and more doubts are being cast on their abilities.
Okay.
During a performance...
4 years on.
4 years.
Wow.
During a performance in Buffalo, New York, pillows were placed beneath the feet of the sisters. And then that night's performance was awfully quiet, Zarin.
Huh.
No ghosts came a-knockin'.
Yeah, because they couldn't get the bounce off the wood floor.
Yeah. Whenever it looked like the sisters would be exposed as frauds, Leah would pull up this, like, stock defense card. "You guys, the negative, doubtful energy in the room is keeping the spirits away. It's your fault.
If you don't believe, it won't happen.
Only the pure of heart who truly believe can experience what my sisters are doing."
It's coincidental that way.
1851, a relative of the Fox family, Mrs. Norman Culver, she signed a confession. She said that she had helped the Fox sisters by touching them to indicate when the rapping sounds should be made.
Hmm.
She said they used their knees, ankles, toe joints to make the sounds.
Hmm.
I can crack pretty much anything.
Can you?
Yeah, sure. Just snap my bones. That's hilarious to me. They're just running through all the joints.
Yeah, I mean,
knees, yeah.
I got some rickety joints, but, like, I don't think I could reliably do three shows a day for 4 years.
Well, I got a busted up ankle.
Yeah, but wouldn't you
and
be...
when I move it, a lot of times it'll just...
Yeah, no, imagine doing that every day for like...
Yeah,
it would get so swollen.
It would be swollen. And,
yes.
Yeah.
And then like when it rains, I'd want to cry.
But I think I could be a medium. I love popping my joints.
Okay, there you go. Let's get you a few. I'll be your agent.
Not like you enjoy popping joints. I enjoy popping my joints. Anyway, the girls were still on the road.
Yes.
They were still practicing that early hustle culture, selling vibes. The next stop had some unexpected twists. Bum, 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 bum. When we come back from this break, I will tell you all about them.
That's sweet.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Matcha.
I love matcha. So rich and smooth.
Do you love matcha love?
Yep. Matcha love is the best in the biz.
Experience the vitality of the whole tea leaf.
So many powerful health benefits.
You know what else I love? Sweet treats.
You are in luck. Matcha's great for baking.
Can you make cookies or cheesecake with matcha?
Yes. Or your other favorites, ice cream or madeleines.
Yes. Delicious.
Matcha love.
Get 25% off all matcha love products on itoin.com. Using code CRIME. That's code CRIME at itoen.com. Available on Amazon and itoen.com.
Zarin.
Yes,
we
Elizabeth.
It was 1852.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was.
And Maggie was 17. Maggie. When their travels took them to Philadelphia. Uh-huh.
Yes.
It was there that she met 30-year-old Arctic explorer Elisha Kent Kane.
That's a heck of a name.
Isn't it? Kane was convinced that the sisters were frauds.
Good on Elisha.
Yeah. He did his best to debunk them. However,
he fell in love.
He came up empty. He said, after a whole month's trial, I could make nothing of them. Therefore, they are a great mystery. So if he can't figure it out, it must not be able to be solved.
I mean, he's an Arctic explorer. If he can't do it.
But you're right. He did find love. He and Maggie fell in love.
Yeah, I was wondering.
She was 13 years his junior.
Okay. How old is she?
She's, what, 17?
17, okay.
And he's a 30-year-old Arctic explorer. He was controlling, but I would say in a good way.
All right.
Well, he convinced her to give up spiritualism and go to school.
Oh, that is. Yeah, I wouldn't call that controlling. I would just call that rational advice.
He was genuinely in love with her.
Yeah, like reasonable. Like, I'd like you to become a real person and enjoy things.
Exactly. Like, stop your spiritualist child star gig.
Stop cracking your bones for bucks, baby.
He loved her. His family did not.
Oh.
They were Philadelphia blue bloods.
Oh, so he's wealthy. That's why he could go Arctic exploring.
Of course. How can you be a 30-year-old Arctic explorer and, like, you can come out of the streets?
Well, you either be the one holding the rope or you're the one paying for the rope. But yeah, so.
They thought that she was like an ignorant heretic bumpkin.
Yeah, I bet.
Certainly not good enough for their boy.
No.
He vowed to marry her anyway.
Good for him.
So he's getting ready to go on this expedition. Before he left, they had a ring exchange ceremony. And the idea was that they would have an actual wedding when he got back and make it legal.
Okay.
Unfortunately, they never got to walk down the aisle because 2 years later, he got sick in Cuba and died at the age of 36.
Huh.
His funeral was the largest in American history until Abraham Lincoln's.
Why?
A lunar crater, Kane, was named for him.
What?
The waterway between Greenland and northernmost Canadian islands, previously named Peabody Bay,
yes,
was renamed Kane Basin in his honor.
What did he do?
Be rich. His family. No, I mean, I guess he was. He did. I shouldn't diminish his.
So he explored up around the Greenland passage to the Arctic.
He wrote volumes on, you know, what he saw and Arctic geology.
But Arctic explorers are people who are out where nobody is.
Yeah.
How did he have the largest funeral at such a young age when it seems like most of his time was spent out where nobody was?
I don't know, you tell
so
me.
Was his family like super like,
oh, yeah, no, they were like,
everyone wanted to go to the boy's funeral, like, yeah, not for him?
A lot of it had to do with the family.
Huh.
The family was wealthy and influential.
Wow. And they went off.
Oh yeah, and they refused to let Maggie attend this mega funeral.
They're petty as all heck.
Mm-hmm. They denied their common law marriage and their ring ceremony, which meant that she was not in the will.
Oh, yeah, I guessed that part.
To honor his memory, she granted his wish to convert to Catholicism.
Huh.
He was not Catholic. He's like, baby,
wanted her to be Catholic.
Be Catholic for me. He was a Presbyterian.
He's like, if I could, I'd be Catholic.
Well,
I want you.
He thought that the iconography and the mysticism of the Catholic Church was like right up her alley.
Oh, he's like, you would love this.
He's like, it's like
they got incense and candles.
Spooky Christian.
There's bleeding gods on the wall. You'll love it.
It's going to be great. She was broken, though, and she was ashamed at the rejection from his family. So she hit the bottle. I mean, she's been drinking since she was a little kid.
Yeah, I imagine. She's also show folk at this point.
Well, yeah. And she vowed to, quote, wholly and forever abandon spiritualism.
Hmm.
So she also got back at his family in the best way a criminal knows how.
Wrote a book.
She wrote a book.
Yeah.
It was called The Love Life of Dr. Cain.
Ooh.
It's
like Sanford and Sons.
It has evolved into Sanford and Sons.
Now it's dirty Sanford and Sons.
Very, very sensual.
Back
Sanford
of the truck bouncing. Sorry, go on.
It's like
if the junk trucks are rocking.
It's like, as producer Dave said, it's kind of like a morning show meets.
Yeah, producer Dave called it
Sanford and Son.
Yes.
It was a collection of the love letters.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Kate, she went the exact opposite way. She married a devout spiritualist.
Oh.
And they had two kids, and she shot to the top of the spooky charts as a medium.
Oh, good on Kate, I guess. Hey.
She had a trick where she would communicate two messages simultaneously. She would write one while saying the other out loud. It's like when I'm typing and talking to someone on the phone at the same time. Big whoop.
Is that a thing? Is that like
apparently that was a big deal.
That?
I'm in the audience. I go, big whoop.
Boring.
Big whoop, huh? She would also transcribe messages in reverse script.
So she'd write backwards.
Yeah, which, okay, that's a good one. I'll give you that one.
Sure. So you got a memory.
Yeah.
And you can write backwards.
She would hold demonstrations where blank cards would like spontaneously reveal words that weren't previously there.
Oh, you got some like some lemon. And
lemon
some
juice. That's a good one, though,
that is
I'd
good.
Say.
I'll give her that
Here's
one.
The best, though. One of her children, Ferdinand, he was also a medium.
Okay.
And when he was only 3, he would be possessed by spirits.
Uh-huh.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I like that.
I'd like if he like maybe like caught fire like the Human Torch.
Well,
like, that'd be impressive.
No, hold on. The spirits would communicate through him. And how did people know this was happening? He had, quote, an unearthly glow that
Ooh.
Would radiate from his eyes.
There you go.
He went dark Brandon.
Now you're talking my language.
Yes. I love it.
And so yeah, once you get into that comic book realm, I'm like, forget spiritualism. Give me Cyclops.
During a session with Charles Livermore.
That's an X-Men. I know you don't know
I'm
these
just,
things.
I have
that
no idea.
Go
I'm
on.
Like, oh, the Cyclops of Greek mythology. During a session with Charles Livermore, who
yes.
was a wealthy banker, she summoned up his deceased wife.
Hmm.
And then also the spirit of Benjamin Franklin.
Mesmer had a whole thing. So that's a fun one to draw in.
So Ben let everyone know that he was in the house by writing his name on a blank card.
Huh.
Just gave an autograph. Here you go. That's kind of him. The Civil War was big business for Kate.
Oh, I bet.
That's grim.
A lot of new souls.
Grieving family members, they would go to her. I need to commune with my lost loved one.
Mm-hmm, my brother, my daughter, my son.
You're my brother, my mother. This surge in popularity meant that spectators, they wanted miracles.
Yes.
They're like, I need a miracle. Two fingers up.
Two fingers.
They wanted it every session. I need a miracle every day, is what they would say. That took its toll on Kate.
I bet it did.
Like her sister before her, she started drinking heavily.
It's 1900s or 18, the 19th century, 1800s. Exactly. That's what you did.
Sure.
It was like, look, I don't have any good water. I got nothing to do. Let's drink about it.
Things went from bad to worse for the sisters. Leah attacked Kate publicly for her drinking problem.
Rough.
So she just aired their laundry. She accused Kate of being an unfit mother to her two young children.
Ugh.
They're getting nasty. Kate was humiliated and Maggie was pissed.
Ooh.
She did not like this. She was so mad she made her own public announcement. She let it leak that the Fox sisters' quote-unquote abilities had been a hoax from day one.
Oh!
And then she denounced spiritualism.
She broke kayfabe. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, I'm out.
The New York World paid Maggie $1,500, which is a lot of money then, to publish an interview. This would be the lead up to a public announcement that she was going to make, and Kate would be in the audience to support. In the New York World interview, Maggie stated, quote, "My sister Katie was the first to observe that by swishing her fingers, she could produce certain noises with her knuckles and joints, and that the same effect could be made with the toes. Finding that we could make raps with our feet, first with one foot and then with both, we practiced until we could do this easily when the room was dark. Like most perplexing things when made clear, it is astonishing how easily it was done. The rapping is simply the result of perfect control of the muscles of the leg below the knee, which govern the tendons of the foot and allow the action of the toe and ankle bones that are not commonly known. Such perfect control is only possible when the child is taken at an early age and carefully and continually taught to practice the muscles, which grow stiffer in later years. This, then, is the simple explanation of the whole method of knocks and raps."
So it's like making a Chinese gymnast.
Yeah.
You start very young, and you go, we got to train these bones.
Well, and like when they say that they would make raps with their feet, that they're just like their feet are just
I was over here holding
rhyming.
My tongue. Yeah,
I know.
Exactly.
I'm like, that's the problem I
let's
have.
Do a quick 16 bars. Like, who's turning?
And the toe just grows a mouth. Yeah. All. Hey, my name is Toe, and I'm here to say...
I got to jam in a major way.
I love spirits in a major way. Zarin,
yes.
Close your eyes.
Okay.
I want you to picture it. Bum, bum, bum. It's October 21st, 1888. You're a young man in New York City, working days as an apprentice tailor. You consider yourself a curious citizen of the world.
Rightio.
When off the clock, you like to get out and about. It's the Big Apple, baby. City that never sleeps. You're in a crowd at the Academy of Music in Manhattan. It's a grand opera house by Union Square that has recently started offering vaudeville shows. You hear a woman, a mystic, was going to give a talk or demonstration or something. You bought a ticket on a whim, and here you are. As 2,000 other people crowd into their seats, a piano plays a popular tune of the day. You and those around you are chatting away in excitement, speculating about what might happen on stage. The curtain pulls back, and a hush falls over the crowd. The tinkling of the piano fades away. A slight, dark-haired woman appears from the wings and makes her way to a spotlight in the center of the stage. She clears her throat. It's Margaretta Fox, and she's here to tell her story. Quote, "When I began this deception, I was too young to know right from wrong. That I have been mainly instrumental in perpetuating the fraud of spiritualism upon a too confiding public, many of you already know. It is the greatest sorrow of my life. My sister Katie and myself were very young children when this horrible deception began. At night when we went to bed, we used to tie an apple on a string and move the string up and down, causing the apple to bump on the floor. Or we would drop the apple on the floor, making a strange noise every time it would rebound. A great many people, when they hear the rapping, imagine at once that the spirits are touching them. It was a very common delusion. Some very wealthy people came to see me some years ago when I lived in 42nd Street, and I did some rappings for them. I made the spirit rap on the chair, and one of the ladies cried out, 'I feel the spirit tapping me on the shoulder.' Of course, that was pure imagination."
I like it.
Yeah. So... Maggie then went on to show how they did this.
Okay.
She just like, you know, showed her ankle and gasped. And then she's like, crack, crack-a-lack-a-lack.
Watch me drop some bars. Rap, rap, rapping.
I just want to rap. She took off her shoe and she put it on a wooden stool.
Yes.
And this is what the New York Herald reported. Quote, "There stood a black-robed, sharp-faced widow working her big toe.
Wow.
And solemnly declaring that it was in this way she created the excitement that has driven so many persons to suicide or insanity. One moment it was ludicrous, the next it was weird." I love that. One moment it was ludicrous, the next it was weird.
Good journalism. Yeah. Yeah, it really told the story. Really, I feel like I was there. I learned everything I needed to know.
It cuts to the heart of the matter. Maggie finished up her demonstration by saying that Leah knew from the beginning that it was all a prank.
Yeah.
And that she decided to exploit the situation for cash.
Sure.
So at first, the little girls are just like, watch, we're going to freak out these people.
Yeah, we're going to freak out the
She's
adults.
She's like, there's some money to be made. She stared at the audience. Then she thanked God for being able to expose spiritualism and then walked off the stage.
Hmm.
There was now a split in the spiritualism movement. Samuel B. Britton, he was the former publisher of the Spiritual Telegraph, which was the first spiritualistic newspaper published in the U.S. His ghost supposedly made an appearance at a seance.
Okay.
And he popped in to defend Maggie.
Wait. the spiritualism.
He's at a
newspaper
seance.
Founder yeah, shows up at a seance, his ghost, to say that spiritualism is a fraud.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, right? So.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure I got that right. So
he said,
Maggie's saying this is a fraud.
No, he said she's authentic.
Oh, so, he's saying she's wrong.
She's wrong.
So, okay. It would have been better if he showed up to say.
So yeah, his spirit is all crack, 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 crack. And they're like, oh, he's saying that Maggie doesn't know what she's talking about. This is what he said. Quote, the band of spirits attending during the early part of her career had been usurped by other unseen intelligences who are not scrupulous in their dealings with humanity.
Oh, so the first ones are real. Everything else after that
That's a long ghost message.
Yeah, it's a long one. It's a lot of tapping and cracking.
It's a lot of backwards writing. Other members of the spiritualist movement saw Maggie's declaration as a mercenary move.
Oh.
They thought, well, she's failed as a professional medium.
She's trying to now get back at the one who's legit.
Well, now she's going to get authority as a detractor.
Yeah.
And a lot of people thought that the $1,500 check she got for that interview just went right to the drink. Drink herself.
Don't they have opinions?
Well, she started going by the pseudonym Mrs. Spencer, and she began to reveal tricks of the trade, how mediums would use their teeth or feet to write messages on those blank cards.
Mm-hmm.
How are you using your teeth?
Maybe imprints?
I guess hiding under
like
the table.
Biting? I don't know.
I suppose if the room's dark enough, like you can get away with all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
A year later, yes. Maggie recanted her confession.
Wait a minute, Mags!
And she said the spirits told her to do it.
Wait, so the spirits told her to say that it's all bunk,
yes.
And then she came back a year later and said the spirits changed their mind.
Yeah.
I got to be truthful, y'all.
When
Game
it came
on.
Down to it, she torpedoed her only source of income.
Yeah, I
she
figured that,
live.
But come on,
so
Mags.
Back in the game she went. The sisters never reconciled.
I bet not.
Leah passed away in 1890.
She's like the WWE wrestler who breaks character and script. They can't let her back in. Like,
no.
You're out.
Kate died 2 years later, 1892, mid-drinking binge.
Oh.
And then 8 months after that, Maggie died.
Oof.
The year Maggie died, spiritualists formed the National Spiritualist Association, which is known today as the National Spiritualist Association of Churches.
It's still around?
Sure is.
Wow.
1904, a group of children were playing in that haunted Fox family farmhouse.
Uh-huh.
They found the majority of a skeleton, mm-hmm. which I feel would be traumatic. And this led to a brief resurgence in believing that the Fox sisters were right along.
Oh, at
along.
The peddler? Okay.
Yeah. However, a doctor examined the bones, and it turns out they were chicken bones, most likely planted as a joke.
There People can tell a chicken from a person.
That's what I'm saying. Or did they do like an outline of a little person?
The size disparity alone. Yeah.
There are at least 10 books
You're
about
holding up
the
a chicken
sisters.
Drumstick? He was a very short man.
He was a little bit. There are 10 books, at least 10 books about him.
Sure.
Multiple websites. Weirdly, no movie. Seems ripe for it, right?
Yeah, I could totally see that.
You just get one actress who can crack them knuckles?
Yeah, and so Sofia Coppola, you got yourself a hit film.
Perfect. What's your ridiculous takeaway?
My ridiculous takeaway? I don't know. I mean, the older sister,
mm-hmm.
I would like to know more about her because of, like, she doesn't have these younger sisters, like, where they're not as... Obviously, the younger sisters seem a little tighter, right?
Yeah.
And then she comes along and says, oh, well, you guys got this thing going? Oh, let's go exploit that. Then she exploits it. Then she, like, basically flips. So it feels like... It's not even... I guess it's not that ridiculous. It's just sad is that she's, like, the worst sister because, like, she's, like, envious. Not of what her younger sisters... Like, it's not like, oh, they live so free. But it's like she sees them, like, the way that parents often mm-hmm. see children. It's like, oh, you guys got something going? Let me see if I can make some money off dolls. And she's the stage
mom.
Oh,
yeah. She's an exploiter.
Yeah. So
I want to know more about her creepy little boy with the glowing eyes, Ferdinand.
That's my jam right there,
right?
Dude. Like,
that's
how do they
stuff.
Pull that off?
I don't know.
And how much did those eyes really glow? I mean, obviously, they weren't shooting beams out, but I mean, like, what were they doing? Well, if you want to get technical, if you're bouncing light photons, and yes, you're going to be talking about
beams
coming out.
Yeah, maybe. That's all I have, though.
That's good.
You can find us online at ridiculouscrime.com. We have all sorts of fun stuff happening over there. A lot of dogs and sunglasses. We're also on Ridiculous Crime at both Twitter and Instagram. You can email us, ridiculouscrime@gmail.com. Leave us a talk back on the iHeart app. Just reach out and tune in next time. Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett. Produced and edited by Medium to the Stars, Dave Kustin. Research is by ghostly specter Marissa Brown and renowned psychic Andrea Song Charpentier. The theme song is by anxious seance attendees Thomas Lee and Travis Dutton. Executive producers are the ghosts of Ben Bolin and Noel Brown.
Ridiculous Crime.
Say it one more time.
Ridiculous Crime.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Matcha.
I love matcha. So rich and smooth.
Do you love matcha love?
Yep. Matcha love is the best in the biz.
Experience the vitality of the whole tea leaf.
So many powerful health benefits.
You know what else I love? Sweet treats.
You are in luck. Matcha's great for baking.
Can you make cookies or cheesecake with matcha?
Yes. Or your other favorites, ice cream or madeleines.
Yes. Delicious.
Matcha love.
Get 25% off all matcha love products on itoin.com. Using code CRIME. That's code CRIME at itoen.com. Available on Amazon and itoen.com.